Hey, everybody, it's John, and thanks to everybody who helps us out every week by going to patreon.com/stealthisbeer and throwing a couple of bucks our way so that we can mail beers to our guests and have some fun conversations resulting from that. So if you're not already, go check it out. It's patreon.com/stealthisbeer. As Cass says, a little bit goes a long way, and we appreciate the support. Now, here come the sirens.
Steal This Beer, a candid weekly discussion about beer, over beer, by a couple of guys that think about beer way too much.
All right, hey y'all, it's 5 o'clock on Monday and we are stealing beer. I'm Augie Carton.
Hey, I'm John Hall. It is, my goodness. Kennedy's here. Cass is here.
We missed you last week, Augie.
Oh, sorry about that, boys. Hey, Cass, I heard you talk. Hi, Cass.
What's happening?
Nothing, baby. How are you?
We are
just left Walmart, ready for a beer.
You're at Walmart?
I just left Walmart.
Oh, did you chug a beer?
Would you buy jet ski gas?
No, unfortunately not. I was looking for an outdoor rug for the deck and did not find one I liked.
So do you guys know, I had a whole other non sequitur that I'm not going to use now, but in favor of this one, do you guys know Devin Cox, who runs the Greenville Beer Exchange down in South Carolina?
I know the Greenville Beer Exchange, yeah.
Yeah, we've talked about him once or twice before, but he would do these videos on Alex Kidd's Facebook page, on the Barley Wine is Life page, where he would go like family shopping at Walmart, pull a glass off the shelf, like a glass that you could purchase, and then pour a barley wine that he brought himself into Walmart, would chug it, and then put the dirty glass back on the shelf. And these videos are wildly entertaining. they bring me joy on the internet in ways that I can't fully express in the truest of forms, and I haven't seen one for a while, but he's real. Sometimes he brings his kid, sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes it's 5 o'clock and you see in the afternoon you see people walking past him in the aisle and nobody blinks an eye at Walmart about this middle-aged dude chugging barley wine in the frozen aisle. Like, it is just it's if that's not America, I don't know what is.
Well, Cass, I think you need to run home and go back. Turn around.
Yeah. Cass, send us a video of you chugging a boat.
Next time.
It's got to be a beer that he cans.
Well, all right. Do drip. Do you guys know Cass? By the way, thieves, it's just the four of us bullshitting. It's midsummer. We're very excited to announce we're finally going.
It's what? Not even midsummer. We are like a week and a half into summer.
We're a week and a half into summer.
So hot on the East Coast that it feels like we are in the dregs of August.
Yeah.
To that, by the time the dregs of August come,
I know. Make a big announcement.
Do the announcement.
We are actually going to Rochester. John and I will be in Rochester for the Mortalis Beer Fest.
Mortalis Swiftwater.
There you go. And we're going to record a plethora of shows around it. And we've been working on planning that so hard, we didn't get together a guest for an episode this week. So we just jumped on a BS with each other. So if you're here for the guests, we understand you're departing. If you're here for the antics and shenanigans, you're in for a good show. So John, tell me what I'm doing in Rochester find us if they're Rochesterian.
Yeah,
Rochesterites or whatever.
By the time mid-August rolls around, which is actually the dead of summer when it is hot and we don't want to do anything, we will probably be 6 shows deep into airing our Rochester shows. I have planned out an ambitious, over the course of 3 days, 9-episode run for us up there. And we're going to go to Genesee. We're going to drink some cream ale, as you do in the summertime.
It better be in styrofoam cups.
We're going to be at breweries talking with brewers that know more about barrel aging than the rest of the world combined. We're going to talk to some local folks. Somehow Mike Beebe, the Ladybug Brewer, has gotten into the mix. He kind of like weaseled his way in there. So we're going to do a show with him. But if
people, I believe Mike has departed the Ladybug Brewery.
Close to it. Has he announced that?
I think I've seen that on Facebook. I don't know it then outside. If you saw it on Facebook.
I didn't want to blow up his spot.
Well, you didn't tell me that. So if I'm blowing up his spot, he didn't privately tell me. So somehow I heard that.
Anyway. So if people want to come and hang out and chill out with us, we are going to be at Swiftwater Brewing on whatever that Thursday is. Let me pull up the 11th here. Thursday, the 11th. We are going
to look at me there. Knowing a date. Fucking write it down, Kennedy.
That's a week from this Thursday.
This Thursday.
July 4th. Yeah.
If you live in Rochester, we are going to be recording two shows at Swiftwater in downtown Rochester. And it's going to be, we're going to have Andy Cook from Swiftwater, who's co-hosting this festival that Augie is going to be pouring at. And then we're going to have Paul Greiner on from Mortalis at 5 o'clock. So after figure 545, we are just going to be hanging out at Swiftwater. We will have recorded four shows. So for those of you who understand us, we're not going to remember meeting you, but it's going to be a pleasure to meet you.
We will be all huggy, though. If you're looking for John Hall hugs,
show John, up. Do you have a garbage plate lunch break built in there?
We're going to start off earlier in the day. At Genesee, at the Genesee Brew House. I have Will Cleveland lined up to kick us off. Will Cleveland.
Wow, that's fun.
Justin Kennedy, the Justin Kennedy of Rochester. He knows everything about.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Did you not know there was a U of Rochester?
No, I did not. Absolutely not.
Will Cleveland's my kind of guest. Will Cleveland is a former newspaper guy who used to write the beer column for the
Boston Globe.
No, the Cleveland, the Rochester Democrat and Gazette.
Posted. Nice.
Yeah,
I love. I miss fucking cool newspaper names.
So you know the Cleveland Ohio Chronicle.
No. So his name is Will Cleveland.
But do you know what the Cleveland newspaper is?
Yeah, the Plain Dealer.
The Plain Dealer, yeah. I like that. I always like that one.
Wait, is it A-N-E or A-I-N?
A-I-N.
Yeah.
Plain Dealer, yeah.
I was always a fan of the Northern California papers when you'd get out and you'd be in the B territory. The Sacramento B, the Fresno B. Yeah, those were always pretty good. Anyway, Will Cleveland's going to kick us off. He's going to give us the lowdown on everything that we're going to do in Rochester or the scene up in Northern New York. And then we're going to talk to one of Genesee's brewers about cream ale for an hour and a half. And then we'll have some garbage plates. And then we're going to amble our way over to Swiftwater, which is where people can come and meet us. So
I just want to check. Is your hope that Will Cleveland will babysit me after episode one and you'll be off the hook? Because I don't see that happening.
No. Oh, no. No, I'm
okay. Good. Okay, good. Like, if you set me free in Genesee with a Genesee brewer. You better like do some squats this week, John. You're gonna have a fireman's karaoke situation.
That's like I haven't lived this scenario before. So anyway, we're gonna be at Swiftwater, which is one of the co-hosts of this Luau Mortalis Swiftwater Mortalis Luau, which is on Saturday the 13th. Augie's gonna be there with his whole team pouring.
I'm bringing a ton of people too. It's fun how many people are coming.
There's some great brewers like who want to go to Rochester in July, which is why.
Like even my brew team, you know, usually it's me, and recently it's been me and Dave, but it's going to be like me, Dave, Nick, and a couple other people. So there'll be certain people aplenty.
Yeah,
I'm psyched. I'm super psyched.
I'm psyched that you're psyched. It's going to be great. So anyway,
Kath and I will not be there, folks.
Sadly, we still need to do our fifth anniversary show in the Hudson Valley. But at least we're getting this one ticked.
Yeah. Well, we're going to start planning the 10th anniversary cruise. But yeah, it's...
Oh, that'll be amazing.
But for
we're doing
now,
it on the Sea Streak?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
We should pirate radio the Sea Streak.
But not tell Sea Streak.
Right, exactly.
Just sit around one of those tables that the guys played dice at on the way home. Fucking monkey.
My God, that'd be great. Anyway, so come see us at Swiftwater. If you live in Rochester, the greater Buffalo area, come hang out. We're going to be at Swiftwater starting at 4. We're going to do a show. There's not going to be speakers or anything.
It's not going to be one of those give and take shows.
It's not a live show. Yeah.
But you can come by, say hi. We'd love that. We're going to do another show at 5 with Paul from Mortalis. And then by 5:45, I'm going to be Huggy. Augie's going to be...
I'll be standoffishly high-fivey.
Yeah. It's going to be great. Come by and see us.
I'm super excited.
So since we don't have a guest, but we do have artistic...
Oh, do you want to talk about this glass?
Let's do glass number one. Yeah.
Okay. Glass number one.
What brings us together on Steal This Beer?
What brings us together on Steal This Beer is a canned conversation of beer. What it is, not what we thought it'd be. What it's doing, not what we were told it would do. How it tastes, not what we did to get it. And basically, if you own it, should you be drinking it, waiting it, or dumping it? To facilitate this conversation, we drink blind out of opaque black glasses. Justin mailed these beers actually a couple weeks ago because I missed a couple episodes. So I'm catching up. I am drinking the beer marked 3. Everybody else is as well, yeah?
Yeah.
Just you and Kat, or you and Hall.
Just me and Hall. All right. Why does it taste Belgian and not Belgian at exactly the same time, John Hall?
I'm getting like white grape flour. I'm getting...
White grape flour? Flowers are green.
There is a floral white grape aroma and flavor that comes off of this. There is a herbalness. There is a... I feel like Kennedy's messing with us. Like, this doesn't necessarily feel like a beer, unless it's a blonde ale that's just been dosed with, I don't know. Like, I'm just saying, like, elderflower. Like, because all I'm getting
All right. All right. I like elderflower. All right. So here's my thing. When I smell it, it smells super phenolic. Like, oh, I'm going to be drinking somebody's white beer.
Somebody's potpourri. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. But you know what I mean. But then when I taste it, whatever the thing is I'm smelling doesn't taste Belgian phenolic yeast at all. It's somehow like lemony. And if I can throw a note.
Lemony's great. I love that note.
And strangely clammy.
Can you unpack that for me?
There's some salinity and some kind of front of tongue calcium feeling to it. That together reminds me of cherry stone clams.
Okay. I like that.
The nose note that's concerning me is when I try to dig through, you know, so the Belgian phenolics I thought I was smelling that I, like I said, it still smells. So, all right, let me back off. There's a term I've used before that I steal from a wine journalist named Robert Parker, and it's his spice box note, which is kind of a catch-all spices term.
I get it.
So when I smell it, I smell Belgian fermentation. When I taste it and look for those things, I get like the spice box without the spices. You mean like had I found my mom's old spice box and she hadn't put new spices in it in 25 years, that's what I think I'm smelling. Something like a storage container for aromatic things without it. And then for some reason I have that unique water correction profile that I'm calling, you know, in a pretty way, cherry stone clammy.
Yeah. I like
but
that
then
a lot.
All in, I've got a sweetness to it. Like maybe honey played a part or something.
Yeah, but that's where I'm getting this blonde ale thing from, because it has that ale-like fruitiness on the back end.
Maybe,
and
yeah.
So I don't know.
It ends up being strangely tannic for what it is. Right? Like, do you have that?
I do.
that Chablis dryness the roof of your mouth and the sides of your tongues right now?
Just as you were about to say that, I was thinking that I would want this, and I know this probably is going to kill, like, you know, any love that you had left for me. But this is one of those things where you'd want in an oversized wine glass just filled with ice cubes.
So you're saying it tastes like a spritzer?
Hard A on the end? Yeah.
Yeah, oh, of course. I'm from around spritzer. Here. I'm from around here.
But right, but it has that. But I'm thinking,
Tommy, make some spritzes. The guys are coming over.
The guys are coming over. Make a pitch. Make a pitch.
Make a whole bunch of spritzes for everybody. But yeah, Ian. So yeah, that's not that ties together a lot of the flavors I'm getting. Like, think of like a 1970s Ian J. Gallo.
Yeah.
Handle of white wine with like, what's the Vantage Seltzer?
Oh God, but Vintage, it's so good.
Vintage. Yeah.
So that's the best seltzer.
Take your fucking wine glass, put wine that should have turned into sangria in the bottom of it. Wait till the Vintage Seltzer explodes all over your wrist, no matter how careful you are, and then dump from that liter thing into it. And I think we end up with those kind of flavors.
It's interesting that this is a beer base, right? Because I wonder,
I
think it is.
I mean, it's Kennedy fuckery on a Saturday, and keep in mind he meant it to come in a second show.
I feel like this is because I keep getting that Blondale thing, but
there's a flowery sweetness, I think, is why you're saying Blondale. Like, there is this weird flowery, like the smell of honeysuckle.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think it's really interesting. A lot about the problem is I'm not sure I want to drink the rest of it even. Like, it's a hot day, and I think it's imagined for a hot day. I did 60 miles on the bike today, so I'm thirsty.
Oh.
I'm enjoying tasting it and trying to sort it out. I just don't know that I want to keep drinking it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Had Kennedy thrown one of the 8-bit lagers in here today, I would already be done with it and on my sixth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, Kennedy, tell us what we're drinking.
All right, you're actually drinking a lager. This is a pale lager from Breeze Brewing. It's a collaboration with Yes Folk Tonics, which is they make mostly kombucha up in the Hudson Valley. But it is a pale lager with Magnolia Oolong Tea. So this lager is brewed to be particularly pale with a small touch of jasmine rice to lighten up the body, pairing exceptionally well with Magnolia Oolong, creating a delicate floral scent and array of subtle fruity and herbal undertones. This one drinks with elegance is what they say.
Okay. All right. I don't think that's that far from what we were saying.
No. You guys were dancing all around.
What makes an oolong magnolia oolong? Is there magnolia flowers in it?
I think so.
That's the flowers we couldn't put our fingers on.
Yeah, like
the tea is the tannin that made me think of wine, but the magnolia is the flowers that was keeping John pale and me confused, right?
You guys were saying words, and I was like, yep. It's like hitting all these different things. So yeah.
Do you have it? Were you drinking it alongside us? Were you seeing what we were saying?
No, but I drank two earlier in the week.
Because he bought a 4-pack.
And he bought a 4-pack and fucked you, Cass. You heard that, Cass, right?
One to Cass.
Literally, #, fuck you, Cass.
I heard you drank the company dollar.
Hey, Patreons, it sounds to me like you need to send us a lot more money if we can't afford to ship Cass a tea beer.
I liked it so much I drank the second can. Sorry, Cass.
Cass, he's in your kitchen, man. Start swinging.
Hey, I want to hear from Cass because I haven't for a while. What are you doing, buddy? How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I got the family in the car here. We're on our way back to the house for a lovely afternoon.
Cass, I thought you were a good family man. I thought you loved your family. Why would you subject them to this?
Well, t- to be fair, you know, we're supposed to do this at 2 o'clock. Someone had to bum rush the time slot.
It's also true.
Yeah, that's
on Augie and I both did that. Augie
that's
and I,
on me.
Yeah. So yeah.
Fair enough. So you did all the right planning. You did all the right planning, and we got
the
anyway.
Episode.
I'll curse less now that I know that.
Yeah, that there's children.
Sorry to all of you I'm sorry to all you people from Iceland and Sweden that chime in around the world to hear Jersey Augie use all the fucks. But now we got a baby on the show. So
you can hear him in the background now.
Like, yes, keep doing it, Augie. Keep doing it.
Sounds like dad. Kennedy, how are you?
I'm good. I'm sitting on a screened-in porch in St. Augustine, Florida, looking out at some water.
On purpose.
Yeah, a very pink bird just flew by. There's lots of weird insects making noises around me. So if you hear weird stuff, that's what that is. But I'm doing good. I'm drinking a Sweetwater Extra Pale 420, 16-ounce can.
I am not. I am drinking. I think this is classic Kennedy beer 4. I think it's weird to rip into this.
Kennedy's trying to kill us.
He's trying to get us in trouble.
Beer 4.
He's trying to get us in trouble.
Is this a quad?
Whatever it is, there's a lot of candy sugar in it, and some booze behind that. If this is Delirium Tremens, if this is Delirium Tremens, Kennedy, we're gonna fight. And then I'll fight with my wife, and then I'll go fight with a cop, and then I'll go
and then I'll fight with my wife dressed as a cop. Yeah,
again. I'm gonna put this on the back burner and let it open up and let that tea flavor wash out of my mouth, because if I go digging into this one too deeply too quickly, the day's over. What else did we talk about? We talked about, do we have a letter? Fucking A, yeah, let's hear a letter.
We got a letter for you, Augie. Oh, sorry, Dan.
All right, I'll be back in an hour.
Thanks, Hall. Is it about wine? Please tell me it's about wine.
No, it's not about wine, but it's not about beer either.
Oh, good.
This is from Rob S. He's the Kennedy, my man. Please ask Augie to explain the Drizzy and Kendrick beef. If possible, please draw parallels to the beer world. I'm sure there's some drama out in the industry. Peace, Rob.
It's funny. I don't know if Rob S. has been listening to as long as we've been doing this, but there was an episode very early in our run, like season 2 or 3, where the haze thing was just starting to take off, and we were trying to parse through what was good and what was bad. I was talking about how I kept traveling and finding people copying the Northeast beers by like Instagram posts and not by recipe, because I keep ending up with, you know, I kept ending up with raw yeast beers the further away from the Northeast I went. And we were talking about how there was joy and fun in the beautiful ones and some real horribleness in the bad ones. And because they were still kind of regional back then, the people drinking the bad ones didn't know they were drinking bad ones, right? They hadn't had Other Half and Trillium and, you know, whoever else was making good ones back then. But they'd seen them, new people loved them, and then they'd see beers that looked like them, and they'd tell themselves they loved them, in spite of some pretty bad brewing practices back then. Remember hop creep back then? Remember raw yeast in beers back then? Remember releasing too close to canning back then? You know, all these things. And at some point on one of the shows, I said to one of the producers of these type of beers, how are you sure you're Kendrick and not Drake? And Kendrick is the authenticity of the love of the game and the hip hop and what's potential and brewing these beers because they make you happy and you care about tradition and taking tradition to new places. And Drake is just being a child actor who is hired by a bunch of people to play the role of a hip hop artist and got a lot of Instagram attention and sold a lot of shitty songs to a lot of people who didn't know what a good song was. And he's been called out on it. It's been interesting, whatever, you know, the underlying, or at least we try. Don't yuck anybody's yum. If going to a roller disco and listening to Drake pretend he's hip hop makes you happy, good on you. But Kendrick kind of put a stop to the notion that Drake had any authenticity in the role he's been playing for the last 14 years. I don't know. I'll finish it off with, I've never understood why anybody was calling the guy that sings Wheezy's hooks a rapper, but I think that's over now, and that's cool. And you'll see it around. You see people who say, you know, we're great at this because we sold the most of this beer, instead of we're great at this because we connected to the most beer lovers. And there's no names to name. I don't know. I guess if you want me to call out, doesn't Six Points now have a couple bars in town that people go to?
Yeah, it was just the one a couple weeks ago in about half a quarter mile from my house. Yeah.
And they completely pivoted their ethos and ethic to copy and trap the Haze Boy movement early on. So it worked for them. They're Drake, right? They're selling them records. They're in there. If their beer makes you happy, good for you. I'm not complaining. But I would promise you there's other people around all those places with real soul trying to still create real flavors in that spectrum. But it's hard, right? If you're, I don't know, I guess the next level of this conversation is, we all have those favorite bands from the 70s and 80s who did that experimental album, right? Like the Disco Dead album, the Grateful Dead doing their disco album, or, you know what I mean? All these people fool around. So I'm not mad at people like Stone for, after promising they would never do that, doing it, because sooner or later, can I do that art gets interesting. But, you know, I think you got to own it. You got to say, actually, I was a little too quick to talk shit. I think these beers are actually fun, and I'm trying to have fun in what I do, right? There's nothing wrong with switching from painting to sculpting. Just do it because it makes you happy, not because you're trying to trap BMG dollars like Drake was doing. Fair enough?
Well done.
Fair enough. I couldn't have answered that question because I don't know enough about either of those artists. So
it's just authenticity, dude. That's all it is.
No, I think I understand. So
yeah, that's all it is. Be authentic, right?
It's too hot to be drinking beer too.
It's too Saturday to be drinking beer too. It's too daylight to be drinking beer too.
No, not on the right day or...
the right day of autumn. Kennedy, yeah. Did you think we were meeting in a basement at midnight to play Dungeons & Dragons?
That's what I thought we were. That's, yeah.
I want to drink this beer out of the skull of my enemies.
Yeah, this is... You were talking Belgians earlier. This is so Belgian. Yeah, it's so Belgian.
I'm worried because it's an exploded can. So, although it tastes kind of wonderfully candy sugar dry to me, and like it's somebody's, you know, big fat silly triple. And I don't even mean fat, because it's pretty tight beer. It's got some neat ashiness on the finish, like it's a super super clean ferment of those adjuncts. But I'm terrified Kennedy's gonna be like, no, this is so-and-so's Lucky Charms IPA, and just the yeast came back to life, ate everything, and exploded your can. So you have the...
I think your can was damaged in shipping.
No, it tastes fine and clean. I'm joking because of the pop top. Yeah, no, there's absolutely nothing wrong with this beer. It is definitely dry as fuck because the yeast ate a ton of simple sugar.
You know when sometimes you go out drinking and the hangover starts when you're still out?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I think you're talking about my Uber from Gensy to.
It's a Swiftwater. Yeah.
The Swiftwater. I mean, I feel like I know exactly what you're talking about from my future.
And it starts like behind the eye, and it's sort of like the daggers pushing out from your skull through there. That's where I feel like if I finish this can and then I continue drinking my delicious side beer, that like in 45 minutes time, I'm going to have that feeling. There is something that is skull crushing about this beer in a completely non-offensive way.
Do you know the learning you do along the way of being a hedonistic drinker of, I can't drink a ton of sweet shit, I can't switch from wine to whiskey, blah, 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 blah. I feel like yep. This beer within itself is a switch from wine to whiskey, because it really does taste like a Belgian triple that like 30% of the fermentable sugar was syrup and the yeast had its way with it. And it's left behind this kind of pretty sugary aromatic, but the dryness of it suggests it's probably north of, I don't know, 7.5, 8.
Yeah.
But I think it's a classic. I think when Kennedy tells us what it is, we're going to find out your friends in Connecticut are importing another Belgian for canning.
But this is in a 16-ounce can, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
Mine might be 17 with the top popped.
Do you want to know what it is?
Yeah, what is it?
Tell us what it is. And then this? Somebody get the 20-sided die, and I'll tell you how many hit points damage it did to me.
Not from Belgium. It's from Canada. This is Fin du Monde.
Oh, mais oui. Ah, la Fin du Monde. Mais oui.
What is
la Fin du Monde? I know that, but...
It's a triple, isn't it?
It's a triple, I think. I don't know.
It's got to be. I pour this in a glass, it's bright yellow.
That's a triple.
It's not dark. It's not a dark beer. Yeah.
And do they call it a Belgian? Like, do they call it a Belgian, or are they claiming?
No, they call it an ale brewed with spices.
Okay.
What's
the ABV on it?
9.
Fuck you, Kennedy.
9. That's a true triple, right?
Oh yeah. Nothing of that on a Saturday afternoon after a 60-mile bike ride.
This is a beer though that ages so incredibly well. If you put this down, you know, I know we used to talk about like, what do you have in your cellar kind of thing. If you sit a La Fin du Monde down, or at least used to, because I'm going off of experience here. I once had a 10-year-old Fin du Monde and it was remarkable. It was still effervescent, a little bit syrupy. The spices had sort of coalesced into this, you know, like richness. It was a remarkable, remarkable bottle that I had totally by accident. But if anybody has any old Fin du Monde sitting around, my personal experience was 10 years was a sweet spot.
This is a gateway. Can you do me a favor too, right?
To heroin?
No, for you guys. I mean, was this like this was a beer I remember from, I don't know, I want to say like the early 2000s that you know, was available in
this is one of those beers that you'd get in 750s and that you'd
exactly
bottle pairs with, like,
and you could find it like
beer nerds. Yeah.
Basically anywhere you went or any craft place you went. For me this was like always a very important beer. So.
Yeah, but John, I'd be super interested if you could pick a can up this week. Wait 10 years, drink it on the show, 18th year show, and tell me if it matured like you remember that bottle maturing, because I don't think cans mature beer. I think they mature beer so much more slowly than bottles that I'd be interested if in 10 years you were like, nope, should have waited.
I'm curious about that as well. But yes, I mean, I'm not going to do it, but let's just say.
But you can do it.
I just pulled up their website, and this beer is no longer available in bottles. It's only in cans and drafts. So
that sucks. Shame on you, Unibrew.
Wait, is the company that makes it called Unibrew?
Yeah. Unibrew, yeah.
One brew?
Yeah.
They make a bunch of different beers, though. It's not just one brew.
Well, that's super confusing.
What was their other one? They had a blonde ale, right? Like,
Blame Canada.
They had like a white ale. They had like a whole bunch of.
They have a whole lineup of beers.
Very Jubilee kind of thing. Yeah.
So shouldn't it be Multibrew?
Multibrew? Get them on the show.
Anyway, we can tell the triple's taking hold of Augie. He's arguing the semantics of beer names from the 1970s.
Hey, there's a store up there in Rochester called Beers of the World. You will probably find bottles of this there.
Ooh. So we'll buy a bottle.
From 10 years ago.
And we'll buy a can. Exactly. We'll
from
10
years ago.
Cellar.
All right. New plan. After the show's at Swiftwater and we hang out for a couple of hours, anybody who's there, we're just all going to get into an Uber and we're going to show up at what's it called? Beers of the World.
Beers of the World.
Buy them out.
And just start stomping our feet and demanding old bottles of Findamont. And they're going to be why would that? Anybody?
And we're going to start calling Goldfarb and asking him about it. It's going to be great.
Like, trust us. Trust us.
Cass, are you going to be canning in Rochester when we're up there?
I unfortunately will not be up in the Roch because I will be up in Massachusetts.
Okay.
I'll be on the beach living life.
Oh, in Massachusetts? Where would you go if you won? St. Augie's?
I would have went to Hawaii.
Oh, all right.
But little place called Salisbury.
Little place, little slice of heaven on the East Coast. I love that for you.
Sleepy town, man.
Nice. Hey, Kennedy, do we have any more mail or have we wrapped up this, put this show to bed?
I got one more quick one for you guys.
All right, is it a break? And then let's wrap it up.
It's about hip-hop culture? Please tell me it's about graffiti and b-boying.
It's a callback to our Philadelphia shows.
We did Philadelphia shows?
You don't remember, Oxy? So this is from
Were those the Malort shows?
Yep.
Fuck you guys.
Yeah, but there
yeah,
was Malort.
Fuck you guys.
There was Malort and there was also Underberg involved.
Oh, yeah, Underberg. Yeah, I'm Underberg.
So this is a question about Underberg.
When did we do the Bergs?
I think
that
it was
whole weekend. That
Fermentary Form or at Human Robots?
That whole weekend I was doing Underbergs.
Sure.
Remember the fucking Hammer of Whatever was in a cart of Underbergs.
Wagon of Underberg, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Jason says, Underberg, sip or shoot?
Shoot.
Neither.
Shoot.
Neither.
Shoot. No?
Neither. There's only one way to drink Underberg. You take the cap off, you put your head back, you find the angle where it pours smoothly, which is a fine touch, and you just pour the bottle into your mouth.
Is that not a shot, though?
Yeah.
No, a shot is in a glass called a shot glass.
All right, it's a shot-like motion.
It is nothing like a shot. It pours out like it's coming out of a fucking iodine dispenser.
Dribble faucet.
It is hard to get out of the bottle. That's true.
You can neither shoot nor sip Underberg. You find the angle. It's somewhere around 65 to 70 degrees where it comes out as smooth as it can. And you put it about 3 inches from your open mouth and you let all the air find its way to it. And you wait till the bottle empties itself, which if you're doing it right is about 3 seconds. And if you're doing it wrong, can be up to 5 minutes. And then you just swallow the Underberg. There's no sipping or shooting Underberg.
I think you can put a little stir straw in it.
That trick and I regretted it every time.
I agree.
That's how you get it in your retronasal cavity. And then you do not taste any of the beers on the next show. I've poured it literally like head back straight into the part of my nose, completely responsible for the business.
As always, thank you for the education. Hey, Cass.
Yo.
Do your thing.
Hey, write us letters about whatever the hell you want. Could be a love letter. It could be
how to drink bitters.
Yeah, how to drink bitters. How not to, I guess, sniff them. stealthisbeerpodcast@gmail.com would love to have you write us and tell us what's going on or you know, ask us some questions.
And I will say that so we have one show next week, and then right after that begins what is planned a 9-week residency in Rochester. So I am open to all letters coming in to be read during those Rochester shows. Because if you write after we go up there, your letter will not be read until sometime in mid-September.
And more importantly, keep in mind the list of people we've already mentioned coming. So you could even pre-plan. You could ask Will Cleveland a question. You could ask...
ask him about newspapers.
And can we henceforth refer to it as our garbage plate suite in 9 movements?
Yes. Sure. I'll remember that.
We're going to get t-shirts made up. Yeah.
All right. I'm super excited. All right, y'all. Five stars on do all that shit, Cass. Sorry.
Yes. Yeah. Patreon.com/dealsbeer. Thank you for your ducats and dollars and cents.
A couple more ducats and Cass gets to drink a tea beer.
Yeah. You know, it sucks sitting on a sideline, you know, to be honest with you. Follow us on all the social medias at Steal This Beer. See what we're drinking on untapped. Steal This Beer. I don't think I forgot anything.
Yeah. I love it. All right, y'all, get at us.
Cheers.